You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome. You're listening to Wake Up with Tom Jones.
Good morning, Saints of God. This is Tom coming to you live each week, and I really do enjoy it. I hope I'm not putting any of you to sleep. Danny's over here shaking his head. And I'd just like to put on a praise song, if you don't mind. You Are My All. It has a little bit to do with my message today, and I hope you enjoy it. I just wanted a little bit of praise music this morning, so I hope you enjoy it. You Are My All. Hope you enjoyed that. And worthy is his name indeed. I'm here to encourage you to stay focused, fall deeper in love with him like never before. And as the scriptures tell us, perfect peace, who's his, whose mind is stayed on thee. My mind gets off track a lot, and I have to remind myself, you know, Tom, stay focused. My wife will tell you that. My business partner will tell you that. I can so easily be sidetracked. And the best thing I know what to do is to stay focused. And I want you to stay focused. I know you have a call on your life. I believe every human being that's born has a purpose, has a destiny, has a call. And it's like Jonah. You know, in the Old Testament, in the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1 says, when the word of the Lord came to Jonah, what did he do with that? He ended up hightailing it and running the other way. And that's what I don't want you doing. And I'm good at that sometimes. When the Holy Spirit tells me to do something, sometimes I want to run the other way. And I don't want you doing that. You're called for a purpose. You're called for this season to grab a hold of what it is that Jesus wants you to do. I feel like some of you are dormant, like a tree. When a tree loses its leaves, and it just goes dormant, and then it comes back to life in the spring. And maybe some of you have gone dormant with your life, with your talents, with your gifts. And ask the Lord about it. Ask the Lord, what specifically are you supposed to be doing? Not everyone can be in the mission field. I realize that. Not everyone can be behind the pulpit and ministering the word of God. You have to be, you're called. But, we're all called to do something. And we're not just called to sit around. You know, the verse that I have for you this morning, it's found in the book of Proverbs. Let me pull it up real quick. And I know you're going to really enjoy it. I was up studying early this morning, and there's something I want to read to you that really touched my heart. I really, to be honest with you, I really love true stories. If you get to know me, I love true stories. I don't like fiction. My wife likes a lot of fiction. Sorry, sweetheart. she loves to read, which I'm glad and grateful for. But I love true stories. So if something is a true story, it captures my attention. And, you know, I want to speak about in Proverbs, it tells us, without a vision, my people perish. What is your vision? What is your vision for mankind? What is it your vision why you're here on this earth? What are you called to do? You're called to do something. You're called to run a corporation. You may be called to go to the mission field. You may be called to be a blessing to families, a church. You may, there's thousands of ways we can be a blessing to one another. Thousands. And I don't want you to miss that opportunity to be a blessing to one another and to use the gifts that God has given you. In Proverbs, it says, chapter 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. From Proverbs 29:18 emphasizes the importance of having a clear purpose and direction in life, both individually and collectively. Without a vision, people lack guidance, become aimless, ultimately decline or suffer consequences. It's really important, you know, a vision as a guiding light. The vision, as a context, refers to a clear understanding of one's purpose, goals, and values, our collective understanding or shared direction. It provides a sense of meaning and motivation, helping people stay on course, making the choice align with their aspirations. I tell you, it's important to really ask the Lord what it is that I'm supposed to be doing. Lord, what am I supposed to be doing? And modern interpretation of all of this is, in modern terms, the proverb emphasizes the need for individuals and organizations to define their goals and values, create a clear plan, and work towards a shared vision. It understands the importance of leadership, strategic thinking, and a sense of purpose in achieving success and well-being. It's so important that we all have a vision. We all have a goal. And if we're dormant, that we come out of that dormancy and we become alive. You know, when I was growing up, you know, we were poor. We didn't have anything. My sister got hit by a car pretty severely. She was in a coma for 3 months. And later on, my mom passed away in front of my sister and I. And then I asked my dad, what are we going to do now? And he said, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm leaving. And he left. And I lived in a hopeless situation. But my mom taught me a work ethic. And, you know, and so we need to ask Jesus what it is that we're supposed to be doing here on this earth. What gifts what gifts do you have that he's deposited in you that you're not even using? You're not even using them. We're all gifted. We're all called. And it's just not the pastors. And I thank the Lord for pastors. I thank the Lord for evangelists because they have their place. But it just can't be the pastors and the evangelists. It has to be one another, encouraging one another every single day that we live. If you see an opportunity to be a blessing, you know, your mind will say, don't help them because it's going to cost me. But what does your heart say? What does your heart say that what you're to do? You know, if you ask my head anything, it's going to say, no, I don't want to give $20 to that kid that's hungry and hasn't eaten. But my heart says, do it. You know, we're not taking anything with us. Let's understand that. Nothing. You can have everything on this earth, but are you happy? I believe in Proverbs, it says, better where there is little, where love dwells, and plenty, where hate abounds. You know, you can have all this stuff in the world and be miserable. You know, are we seeking the kingdom and the stuff out of the kingdom? Or are we seeking the king, falling deeper in love with him? And that's the part of my radio program, to encourage you, to stir you up so that you can become all that Jesus wants you to become. Not so that you can go out and make a name and write a book and look at me. You know, it's not about you. It never will be. It's about Jesus. Stay focused and give him all the glory, all the credit, and all the honor as long as you live. And he'll promote you. You don't need to promote yourself. The Bible says your gifts in you will make a way. The gifts that he's deposited in you will make a way. What are you doing with the gifts he's given you? And I'm challenging each and every one of you. And I'm including myself in this as well. What am I doing with the gifts God's given me? What gifts are they? Well, if you spend time with Jesus, you're going to know. You're going to know. And you're going to know what it is that you're called to do, to be that blessing to the neighbor, or the friend, or your business partner, or your friend, or your wife, or your cousin. No, you go out into this world, it's a mission field in itself in America. You know, I used to go all over in a mission field. We built orphan homes. And you don't necessarily need to do that. Everyone's not called to go into the mission field, but everyone's called to do something. And I want to encourage the church. You need to, like David in Psalms encouraged himself, I want you to start encouraging yourself. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, I tell you what, if I remember correctly, and I'm not a Bible scholar by no means, I'm not, you know, but I believe fear not is in the Bible 365 times, one for each day of the year. We can sit down all we want. You know, I'm going through a situation in my life and, you know, this happened and this happened and this happened. And the Lord told me, quit looking at these circumstances. Quit looking at them. You know, your checkbook, looking at this and looking at ministry and looking at this stuff. Stay focused. Stay focused. Keep your eyes focused on him and he'll tell you what to do. He'll tell you who to be the blessing to. You know, because you want, like Jonah, you know, first in the book of Jonah, again, chapter 1, verse 1 says, when the word of the Lord came to Jonah, what did he do with it? What did he do? That boy ran the other way. He did. And that's usually sometimes what I do, you know. I sometimes get an assignment from the Holy Spirit tells me to do something, and I'm running the other way until he captures my attention to get back here. You know, what are you doing? Come on now, saints of God. Let's wake up and stay awake and not miss these, what I call, you can call them God moments, divine appointments, whatever you want to call them, but there's people hurting. There is people hurting, and we need to be his hands, his eyes, his ears, his mouth, and being a part of what he tells us to be a part of. And Hebrews 3:13 says, encourage one another daily. Why? Today is still called the day. It didn't say encourage one another yearly. It says daily. Why aren't we doing it? I encourage you to start encouraging a brother or sister. Start encouraging your pastor. Tell your pastor you're doing a good job. You know, start encouraging one another. You go up to him and say, you know, the Holy Spirit put on my heart, I have a scripture for you. You know, that person may be going through a difficult time, or they may need $50. You know, a lot of times the Lord will put it on our hearts to hey, that person won't say anything and they need help. Let's be sensitive. Let's be sensitive to one another and not stingy. Let's not have a stingy spirit and a greedy spirit. You know, there's no time on this earth for that. I believe we're in the end of the end. I really do. And there's no time to just hoard this and hoard this and hoard this. And there's no time for it. You know, this is serious. We're in battle. I'm learning how to live in this upside down world, and especially America. We are upside down. We are literally upside down. I'm not picking on America. I know we're the greatest country on earth. We were founded by Judeo-Christian principles. It's a great country, but we're losing it. We're absolutely losing it. And you know why? Because we're not focused. We're not blessing Israel. We're cursing Israel. You know, we should be blessing them. And as a nation, I'm grateful we are supporting Israel, but we need to continue that. You know, our government, and I'm not being political here. Don't get me wrong. I'm getting off track a little bit. But we're nearing a skyrocketing deficit that we don't even talk about anymore, which can hurt us severely if not dealt with. And only God is the one that can give mathematicians and accountants the wisdom to get us out of this. So let's stay focused. Let's do our part. You know, you look at your money. It says, in God we trust. Do you really trust God? Are you trusting that money? Are you trusting God? Who are we trusting today? Here's an interesting story that goes along with Without a Vision, and it's a true story. I got fired from the very company I founded, and it turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to me. You'll know who it is in a minute. When I was a child, my birth parents gave me up for adoption. As far back as I can remember, I carried the feeling of rejection. My adopted parents gave me love, real love, but deep down, I always wondered why I wasn't wanted. It became the fire inside of me. I became obsessed with proving my worth, with building something so impactful the world couldn't ignore me. At 20, I co-founded Apple. In my parents' garage. No money, no investors, no experience, just a vision and a hunger to change the world. Do you have a hunger to change the world, to turn it upside down? You don't have to be like Steve Jobs, the late Steve Jobs, but are you hungry? There's a desire in you to be a blessing to our community, the nation, the world. Going on, it says, but the hardest blow came years later at 30, and a shocking move, the very board I had built kicked me out of the company I had started. I felt like getting thrown out of your own house. I spiraled into deep depression. I felt lost, betrayed, worthless, but I didn't stop. I started over. I built a new company, NEXT, and brought a tiny animation studio you might heard of called Pixar. And the irony, Apple eventually bought NEXT just to get my operating system. That's how I came back, this time stronger. I helped lead Apple's rebirth. We launched the iMac, the iPad, the iPod, the iPhone. We didn't just sell products. We changed how people live, work, listen, and connect. Behind every success was a guy who was adopted, rejected, fired, and who never stopped. Because of these things that hurt the most are often the things that pushed us the furthest. Sometimes life hits you in the head with a brick. Don't lose faith, because what feels like the end might just be the beginning of something greater. And that's from the late Steve Jobs. Martin Luther King shared something. I have a dream. I have a dream. And I remembered as a young boy hearing him say that. I have a dream. And it's great to have a dream, but I'm encouraging you that those of you that have a dream, let's stop dreaming and go live that dream that you're called to do. Go live that dream. You can look at the late Winston Churchill. I love what he said, quoted rather. He says, success is when you fail and you fail, you fail, you fail, and you fail, but you don't give up. That's right. He quoted, success is when you fail and you fail, and you fail, and you fail, and you fail, but you don't give up. That in itself is my whole life. I failed in life. I stumbled, you know, my whole life. We lived in poverty. Mom died. Dad took off. Just poverty after poverty. But I knew I was going to make it. I pushed myself. And some of you out there, life has hit you pretty hard. And you just don't feel like getting up anymore. You just don't want to live anymore. But God has a purpose and a plan for you. And you need to pick yourself back up and remember the scripture that said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You got to remember that. You got to pick yourself back up again. You're called. You're special. You're unique. And just like Jonah, I don't remember reading the Word of God. It said there's a Jonah Jr., Jonah the Third. There's only one Jonah. There's only one you. And you're the one that God's gifted to do things. And what are you doing with the talent that he's given you? Are you wasting your life? You've had it hard. We all have. But pick yourself back up. Ask the Lord to help you, give you the strength, the energy, the ambition to push and to drive. No, your goal shouldn't be money-oriented. You know, nothing wrong with money. You know, nothing wrong with money at all. It's just the love of money. Don't fall in love with money. You can have plenty of money. Just don't fall in love with it. So your purpose shouldn't be that when the Word says your gift in you will make a way, you don't want it to make a way that you're going to say, well, okay, how much is in it for me? No, your talent and your gift will make a way. And your focus shouldn't be on, well, look, what's in it for me, but to be that blessing to your community, your neighborhood, the city, the state, the country, and the world. And I'd say we need to be life changers. You know, if you change one person, if you touch one person, you touch one person for a generation to come. And it's all about going to Jesus saying, Lord, what is my talent? What is my gift? What am I called to do? Just go to him and he'll show you. You can tell me, well, I'm 70. Well, I'm 70 almost too. And I'm going stronger than I ever have. And I don't want to stop until the day he said, your time's over. Come on home. It doesn't matter your age. He can use you wherever you are on the way or where you're going for his purpose and for his glory, that his will be done in your life and not yours, but his. Well, my program's almost over. Danny, where does the time go? I tell you what, this half hour just really goes. Well, I hope you enjoyed my program. I shared some stories with you. Just remember, again, success is when you fail and you fail and you fail, but you refuse to give up. You just keep on keeping on with Jesus. You keep focused. Perfect peace, who says, the scriptures tell us, whose mind is stayed on what? Circumstances? The stock market? No, perfect peace is his whose mind is stayed on Jesus. We got to keep our minds on him. Nothing else. You know, the world could be falling apart. If your mind isn't staying on him, you're going to be falling apart. Sometimes I fall apart, and I'm just being honest, and I got to stay focused. My wife will tell you that, and so will my business partner. Boy, you get my mind off of Jesus, and I'm a flaming mess, and I'm going to tell you that. You know, I have to get back and say, what's important? And that's people. That's what Jesus went to the cross for, people. I heard his heartbeat a long time ago. The Holy Spirit allowed me to hear the Lord's heart, and it beats people. People, people, people. It didn't say money, 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 things, things, things. Not going to take any of this stuff with us. Nope. You need to learn to be more of a blessing. And I do too. And I'm including myself in on that. So I encourage you to draw closer to him, to spend quality time, have some quiet time with the Lord in the morning. Open your Bible, dust it off. Start with Matthew, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Go to church. Find a good church to go to. Don't find a perfect one now. You know, don't do that. Don't think a church is perfect. It's not perfect. You know, none of us are perfect. But it's a place to go to hear the Word of God and to worship. And I encourage you to, you know, go to a good Bible-believing church and learn to be a blessing even when you're there, to your pastor, to people around you that's sitting next to you. You never know that person's hurting. You might want to say, hey, can I pray for you? So, well, my time's just about up. I hope you all enjoyed my program. Hope I didn't put any of you to sleep. Danny's saying no. He's the only one that's probably awake. but anyway, I do hope you enjoyed the program. Stay awake until next week. May God richly, richly bless you and with a great vision, and may that door open that no man can close. God bless you.
You've been listening to Wake Up, the radio broadcast brought to you by Tom Jones Ministries. Be with us again next Thursday at the same time for Wake Up with Tom Jones.
Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit.